I want to share a message this morning of how to have peace in a storm. You know, that's where we find ourselves today. We're in a storm. It's called the coronavirus. It's sweeping the world. A lot of uncertainty. We're in unprecedented territories. Congress is taking action. Our governors are local officials. And so we're in this sense of storm. And I want to read one verse. It's taken from John 16, verse 33. It's the words of Jesus. Here's what he said. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So in one verse, Jesus packs a lot of truth into a communication with his disciples that we can take today and apply it to our own lives. And so I want to share with you four different truths of how to have peace in the midst of the storm. So let's get started. The first phrase that he says, he talks about, I've told you these things. And so you got to look back at the preceding verses. And he's about to die, and the Holy Spirit's going to come to earth. And the Holy Spirit will then live inside us, and the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us and direct us. But here's what he says in these verses. There are going to be difficult times. And so he's ending his discourse with a sense of, I've told you these things because, and now the four truths, okay? Here's the first one. The first truth that we can lay hold of in this verse is this. In me, you will have peace. So Jesus is saying, hey, there's going to be a lot of trouble in the world, but he says, in me, you may have peace. So let's talk about peace for a moment. Peace is that inner calm. It's that sense of inner rest. It's a sense of wholeness on the inside. And one definition says this. It's when all essential parts are joined together. So understand that Jesus wants you and me to have peace anytime, and especially when there's trouble and tribulation around us. Let me talk to you about three different kinds of peace. The first one is what I'll call peace with God. You know, the Bible says a lot about we need to make peace with God from the sin in our heart, and he forgives us. So it's a vertical peace. There's a second peace in which we have peace with others. This is about a relationship or the relationships we have with other people. And then thirdly is peace with ourselves. But first, let me talk about peace with God. Romans says, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is this peace? It is when God touches the human heart and gives us a sense of inner rest and peace that only he can give us. It's supernatural. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to know that. In Philippians, Paul writes this, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when God puts peace into a hurting heart, there's a sense of rest and a sense of confidence and a sense of assurance that only he can give. And the true insight is this. Jesus said he wants you and me to have it. You know, I talked about peace with others. Great verse in Hebrews. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Hey, when I've had an argument with somebody and there's some unfinished business, I'm just not at peace with the other person. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And we have to kind of iron that out. And when I resolve those issues, I have a great sense of peace. Well, there's a third peace, and that is peace with ourselves. And in Proverbs, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Here's what it's saying. Have you ever had somebody ask you to do something you felt a little uncomfortable about, a little uneasy? We all have. And so it's an inner compass. It's an inner radar. And we have to guard it so that we don't do things we're uncomfortable with, so we somehow get out of peace with ourselves. So three different kinds of pieces, but I want to highlight the first one, which is the biggest one and probably the most important. It's peace with God. I want to tell you a story. His name is Horatio Spafford. He was a successful lawyer and a businessman in Chicago, had a lovely family, and he had five kids. His wife's name was Anna. Their young son died with pneumonia in 1871. In that year, the great Chicago fire destroyed a lot of their business. But in 1873, this is what happened. Horatio Spafford's, his wife and four daughters got on a French ocean liner, the Ville de Havre, and they were crossing the Atlantic to go to Europe. There were 313 passengers on board, so it was Mrs. Spafford and the four daughters. Mr. Spafford stayed home because he had business he had to tend to and was planning to take another ship. About 4 days into the journey, crossing the Atlantic, this boat that they were on somehow collided with another ship. It was a Scottish ship. It was called the Loch Earn. And everybody on board was in danger. And the mother, Anna, took the four girls, and they knelt and they prayed. And they said, God, if you would spare them. She asked for him to spare them, but your will be done. Well, here's what happened. Within 12 minutes, the ship sank. The four children lost their lives. The mother, Anna, was found floating on a piece of wreckage. Someone picked her up. They put her on a bigger boat. And 9 days later, she landed in Cardiff, Wales. She sent a message, a wire, to her husband saying this: saved alone, what shall I do? Well, as the story goes on, there was a pastor on board who was also saved from the after the accident. And Anna, the mother, said this to him: God gave me four daughters. Now they've been taken from me. Someday, I will understand why. Mr. Spafford booked a passage on the next available ship, and he went to be with his grieving wife. And they were about 4 days into the journey crossing the Atlantic, and the captain called Mr. Spafford to his cabin, and he said, this is the place where the ship went down and your daughters lost their lives. And here's what happened. Horatio Spafford wrote a poem, and let me read you the poem. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Jesus said in the midst of problems that in him, in our relationship with him, he will give us peace. And so Mr. Spafford wrote these words about how God gave him peace after the loss of his four daughters. Amazing story of how the peace of God and the strength that he drew from it. So number one, Jesus said, in me, in our relationship with him, he gives us peace. Number two, the second phrase in this verse is this: in this world, you're going to have trouble. Interesting that Jesus pretty much says, if you're in the world, you're going to experience some kind of problems, trials, and tribulations. Now, the Greek word for trouble here is thlipsis. And here's what it means. It means afflicted, to be in distress. It can mean persecution. It can mean tribulation. But when you break it down, it's a place where we feel hemmed in. It's a place where we don't feel like there's any options left. It's a place of confinement. It's a place where there's pressure and we don't think there's any way of escape. So we're dealing with the coronavirus throughout the world, and wow, there's some scary times out there. We're experiencing tribulation with some 681 cases, 1,000 cases worldwide, 124,000 confirmed cases in the U.S., and New York State has about 54,000. So we're in the middle of a storm, and we're in the middle of a time of testing and tribulation. But Jesus says this, it's in that very place that when we trust him, he gives us his peace, the peace of God, and somehow that peace gives us strength to endure and to keep moving ahead, which takes us to the third phrase in this verse. I love this one. The third phrase is this. He says, but take heart. He says, in me, you can have peace, but he says, in the world, you're going to have trouble, but he says, take heart. I love this. There's a conjunction word. It's the word but. And it means that it connects what has been stated before with what's about to come. And so he says, but take heart. Now, in the King James Version, it says, be of good cheer. This is about attitude. And attitude is the key thing here. And Jesus is saying this. He wants us to keep an attitude of faith in the midst of the storm we're in. I got to give a shout out to Sarah Babcock Shake. She's a nurse. Karen Marlette Hennigan and Darlene Bailey. They're all nurses, and there's many others in the church. But I know a couple of them are dealing with COVID-19 patients. And you know what? They are keeping an attitude of just trying to be bold and to serve other people. So keep them in your prayers, excuse me, as well as all the other doctors and nurses. But I want to talk to you about the significance of attitude. Attitude is the deal breaker when it comes to being able to endure or persevere or overcome in a trial. I want to share a story about a person who I'll mention his name later, but let me just read a little bit about his life. At the age of 7, he had to go to work to help support his family. At 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. At 23, he went into debt and became a partner in a small store. At 26, his partner died, leaving him a huge debt. At the age of 35, he'd been defeated twice when running for a seat in Congress. At the age of 37, he won the election. At 39, he lost his reelection bid. At 41, his 4-year-old son died. At 42, he was rejected for a land officer role. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 47, he was defeated for the nomination for vice president. At 49, he ran for the Senate again and lost. At the age of 51, he was elected president of the United States. His name lives on among the greats in U.S. history. His name is Abraham Lincoln. You know what Abraham Lincoln had in the midst of all the struggle in his life? Was his attitude. And so with what's going on around us, I want to encourage all of us that Jesus says, take heart, be of good cheer. He has overcome the situation. Now, I got to share this quote from a well-known person, Chuck Swindoll. Here's what he says. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. I want you to take heart this morning. I want you to be encouraged. Jesus said he'll give us peace. He says we're going to have trouble. He's going to be with us in the trouble. And he says, take heart. Be of good courage. Have a sense of confidence, a sense of boldness. Help him strengthen us because he's there to see us through. Well, finally, the fourth phrase I want to lift out of this verse is the very last part in which Jesus says this, I have overcome the world. Jesus said, I want you to take heart. I, Jesus Christ, have overcome the world. Here's what the Amplified Bible says. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm, have conquered it for you. Whatever storm you have going on in your life, and of course we're all dealing with the coronavirus storm, there's many other storms that people have going on in their lives, whether it's health, whether it's a financial, whether it's work, job, it could be many things. But here's what Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He has conquered it on our behalf. And if we put our hand in his, he promises that we will become the victor with him. You know, the word here, overcome, means to carry off the victory, to come off victorious. It implies a battle, but somehow, some way, Jesus has secured the victory on our behalf. When he died for our sins, rose again the third day, can I tell you, that sealed our victory. And so the word overcome, Jesus is saying, he has carried off the victory for us. And so when we walk with him, we can also carry off the victory as we trust him and allow him to work in our lives. So four simple phrases of how to have peace in a storm. Jesus says, in me you can have peace and inner calm. Number two, he says, you're going to have trouble. We can expect it in this thing called life. It's just a fact of life. We have troubles and tribulations. He says, number three, but take heart. Be encouraged. Put your hand in his. He says, I want you to have an attitude of boldness. And number four, I have overcome the world. He has secured the victory for us. Well, I hope you have peace today. It's the peace that passes understanding that only Jesus Christ can give to any heart as we trust him. I'm going to lead us in prayer as I close. And a part of the prayer will give you an opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your life if you've never done that. And I'll have more about that later. But let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning that you're a God that has conquered life on our behalf through Jesus dying on a cross and being raised again. We thank you today that we have a sense of confidence and hope as we look to the authority of your word that you are for us, you're in our corner, and you want to share the victory with us as we draw upon your strength. I pray for every person listening today that you'll encourage us, that you'll somehow help us to protect and feed our faith in you. And Lord, we will stand in the midst of the storm having peace even when there's so much uncertainty around us. And now if you're listening and you've never asked Christ into your life, just pray this prayer after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your amazing love. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again and is alive forevermore. Right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life, or I recommit my life to him. Be my Savior, be my Lord from this moment forward. In your name I pray. Amen. I just want to say, if you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time, or you recommitted your life to him, there's an email address on the screen, waltonnewhopechurch@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And so if you could just send an email, that'd be great. Also, there's a phone number, 607-865-5436. And if you call, we'll be glad to send you a booklet of how to continue to grow in your faith journey.